speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
Indeed, it is always a pleasure for us to study the Bible because it is our guide from here to eternity. Thy word, the psalmist said, is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our pathway. But you know, without turning the lamp on, there will be no light. And men have to study to show themselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm reading to you today from 1 Corinthians 12, beginning verse 12, where Paul wrote concerning the body of Christ and compared it unto the body of man. He said, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink of the one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again to the head, or to the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh." Now, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. What a wonderful passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, ending in verse 26. How wonderful to learn that, first of all, we're all baptized into that one body. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism are necessary to enter into the body of Christ. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." The saved are all added to the one body, the church. Those who obey the gospel are added to the one body, the church, but those who refuse to do so are not added to the body, the church. They are not Christians. So we learn in Acts 2 that Peter said to the murderers of the Lord, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, it's unto your children, it's unto all of them that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked and untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the Lord added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. Verse 47 of Acts 2, he said they were praising God, had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. So in that connection, we understand as the body is one, hath many members, they are all baptized in the same way into the one body, and that body is not just one member, but it's many, he said. Now, you know that we have feet, we have hands, we have eyes, we have ears, and none of these parts of the body can say, "I'm not necessary," or that one part is more important than another. True, we have some uncomely parts, which are not as outstanding and to be shown outwardly as those which are more comely, but we realize that these all are important. And he said he wants no schism, no division, no sectarianism, no denominationalism in the body. Verse 25, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So as the Apostle Paul compares the church to the physical body, he said, "As the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Friend, are you in Christ? That means, are you in his body, in his church? You know, there's but one Christ, and there's also but one body. Paul had said, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one body in Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. For by one Spirit, then, he says here, we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Greek or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, in comparing the church with the physical body, the Apostle Paul said, for the body is not one member, but many, verse 14. Christ is the head of the body, we learn in Colossians 1:18, and we are members one of another, Ephesians 4 and verse 24. Now, Paul further says here, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, well, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? So all of these things point us to the importance of being in the one body and realizing our particular work and doing that work to the very best of our ability. All may not be able to lead a song. All may not be able to preach the word. All may not be able to pray in a public way. But all have a part in the body of Christ. So this does away with the idea that there are many churches, doesn't it? Using different names and teaching various doctrines. It is also easily understood, the scriptures are, all members of the human body, each with a different function, constitute still only one body. Now, our work in the church must be done according to our individual ability in order to receive a reward. The parable of the talents illustrates that point in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Since we can all not all be preachers, because we do not all have the ability to preach, but if we are qualified to be preachers, there would be no one to whom we should preach if there were not others in the body. Neither can we all be elders, because many of us do not have the qualifications for the eldership. But even some who are holding the title are not always qualified because they've not studied to show themselves approved unto God, as 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to do. But if all were elders, there would be no flock over which they would be able to shepherd, is there? However, each member has some talent to do some work in the church. And though it may not be as a teacher, preacher, or elder, there is much other work to be done in the field by individuals. You know, some members seem to think that all the work of the church is to be done during the assembly. But if that be true, then there would be no further service that could be offered. That if they are not publicly participating in the work, they're not pleasing to God. But that's not true. There are the sick to be visited. There are negligent members who need to be called upon. And there are alien sinners, those who have never obeyed the gospel, that need to be contacted. And there is always a need to be an example to others in our daily living, isn't there? We must always remember that we are the salt of the earth as Christians. We are the light of the world. And one may have a stronger light than others have, but we must let whatever we have shine to others that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. You know, there are members of the church who seem to think that they can worship and serve the Lord once a week, and that's enough for the whole week. They have no more work to do. However important as it is, there is much more work to be done than just not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's important, but that's not all of Christianity. Christianity is an everyday obligation, isn't it? The Bible says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Now the writer to the Hebrews said, for when for time ye ought to be teachers, not necessarily teachers from the pulpit or in a classroom, but ye ought to be teachers, ye have need, though, that one teach you again, but what be the first principles of the oracles of God. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. Every member of the church has his own work to do, doesn't he? Just as the members of the human body have separate and distinct functions, so also is the body of Christ. For instance, my friends, the heart cannot substitute for the lungs, neither can the lungs perform the function of the liver. In the church, one may not be able to do what others are doing, but we must understand that every work in the church is important. Just as the work of each member of the human body is important to the well-being of the whole body. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12:21-22, "The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary," Paul said. Now, a member of the church with talents of the very least significance, it seems, as long as he puts those talents to their proper use, he is important in the sight of God. Only one who is a lazy, slothful servant who will not use the one talent even that he has. He's the one whom the Lord condemns. He said, "You bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now further, Paul said, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. Now you recall, do you not, that Jesus said to the widow who cast into the treasury 2 mites, that she had given more than all the others who gave of their abundance. Mark 12:42 and Luke 21:2. How could it be that those who cast in abundance did not give as much as this one who gave only 2 mites? These were very small coins. In fact, so much so that when we went to Jerusalem a few years ago, they didn't want to give us any of those widow mites. I mean, let us pay for them, because they didn't want to count them. They seemed so insignificant. But Jesus said that widow who cast into the treasury 2 mites, now she didn't have much ability, but she had that much. And he said she'd given more because she didn't have a whole lot of talents or ability. So as we increase our faith, let us also use our talents to increase our number, never becoming satisfied with what we have already done. But let us strive to grow stronger in the favor of God, in order, my friends, that at the end of the way, Jesus may say unto us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." Now there is one body. Are you in it? If you don't have much talent, you can still be important in that body. We must all be buried with the Lord in baptism to come into that body. We're hopeful, if you've not done so, that you will do that even today.